Andrew Schneider on KNIA KRLS Radio for Food Drive Fridays. This year, we're talking with various partners of us over the years in our Food Drive Awareness Campaign. And last couple years, we had a live radiothon, and our guest now joined us for those couple years back-to-back live. This year, pre-recorded, but still happy to have her on. Annette Hacker is the Vice President of Communications for the Food Bank of Iowa. Annette, good to be joining you again, especially as we talk about this important time and important topic. First of all, just how are things going right now as we talk about hunger and the Food Bank of Iowa, and as we head into the holiday season, what are some of the things that are kind of on your mind and the organization's mind?
Well, you know, Andrew, it is a challenging holiday season ahead. The need, the record-breaking numbers we've seen have continued for about 18 months. Ever since those SNAP benefits changed when pandemic benefits lessened, went away. That's when the need started to rise, and it's been rising every month ever since. Last month, Food Bank of Iowa's partner pantries served more than 191,000 individuals across 55 counties, including right there where you are. And, you know, it's a variety of things. It's the economy, it's inflation, it's wages that haven't kept up. People really are working hard, but they just can't make ends meet, and that's when they come visit our partner pantries.
And maybe we should take a step back there too and explain what the Food Bank of Iowa is. And I think for many of our listeners over the years prior to our radiothon, maybe didn't have a lot of knowledge of that. They see our Helping Hands in Knoxville or the Pella Food Shelf here in our community and our other partners in Warren County. But how does the Food Bank of Iowa work, and how do you work with those pantries to make sure that those who are hungry get necessary food?
Yeah, we really like to help people understand the difference between a food bank and a food pantry. If you're among the 98% of people who don't know that, you know, it's okay. We keep at that. But Food Bank of Iowa, we find the food, we keep it safe, and we deliver it to 700 partners in 55 counties, including Helping Hand and Pella Food Shelf and some of those that you mentioned. But we're like the big grocery store distribution warehouse. So we have distribution centers in both Des Moines and Ottumwa, and we source food in a variety of ways. About half of it's donated. Some of it comes from USDA. That amount varies. And the rest of it we purchase. And as the need has risen, we need to buy more food. The food costs more, and it costs more to get it here. Then we take the food from our distribution centers and deliver it to the doorsteps of partners in local communities so that they can stock their shelves and take the food that last few feet and hand it to people in your community who need a little help.
Well, and one of the fascinating things you talked about is with that model, when you were on our airwaves last couple of years, the cost efficiency that's a part of that, having a large distribution or a buyer or someone collecting the food. Not that it doesn't help when, you know, we're in our local Hy-Vee or Fairway store and we're dropping off a certain item or if we're making a direct donation, but what are some of the efficiencies of having a resource as large as yours, and how are you able to really help our food shelves maximize the dollar that they're getting, or dollars plural, that they're getting from our listeners?
Yeah, well, Food Bank of Iowa is entirely funded by donors. We're not a government agency. So the thing that I think people can really feel good about is knowing we can feed an Iowan in need for less than $2 a day. And when you give a dollar to Food Bank of Iowa, more than 96 cents of that dollar go directly to feed our neighbors who need help with food. So that means we have bulk purchasing power, we have relationships with retail donors, and, you know, we can, of course, we love it when people have a food drive and bring food, but we can stretch our dollars so much farther than you can in the grocery store. You know, if you wanted to donate a can of green beans, we can get 3 cans of green beans for what you would pay for the price of one. So we really can source the food and the nutrition that our local partners need and help them stock their shelves. Of course, they're all fundraising too. They need to do that and get that community support. None of our pantries should, you know, expect to get 100% of their food from the food bank. They also need to work with partners in their local communities. But it's a great model. It's a great system in that we all work together and we share the same mission, and that's to get food to people in need so that they can live full and active lives.
Here are the Net Hacker. She's the Vice President of Communications with the Food Bank of Iowa, and we're talking Food Drive Fridays. And Annette, one of the other kind of topics that we talk about a lot is obviously the amount of research and the amount of knowledge you get from being based in so many counties and having that working relationship with your partners. Obviously, you talked about very recently, especially the last couple months, really last couple years, the challenges of inflation. You know, how does your organization kind of try to stay ahead, so to speak, as much as you can? And how do you work with both your partners and other research methods to see how hunger is shifted and changed? Because I know when we talked to Melissa Zula, our Pella Food Shelf director, she noticed the different types of clients that were coming in depending on the economic season or the challenges. And how do you work then with your partners to give them that information and to help them maybe best plan or best purchase?
Well, you know, our partners are our eyes and ears and feet on the ground. We couldn't do our job without them. We can get the food to them, but they need to put it in the hands of people in their own communities. So really, they're giving as much data back to us as we are to them. We can look at what's happening on the national front, and we do get, you know, information from Feeding America, for example, and other sources. But all of our partners, whether they're pantries or school pantries, daycares, shelters, meal sites, residential facilities, they report data back to us, and we can look at that collectively over that 55 county footprint and, you know, kind of see the trends that are occurring.
You mentioned the school partners, and I thought that was another kind of fascinating way to get resources directly to kids, especially if they're not able to get it at home. And I know that there are some informal who don't necessarily work with you like here in Pella, but there are that do work with your organization locally, Knoxville, Pleasantville, Indianola, among those. What's that relationship like when we're talking about these big topics of learning about hunger and meeting people where they are, especially when we're dealing with children, which I know is a very sensitive topic? With the free lunches were around for a while. There's still the free and reduced program, but there are gaps there too. How does the Food Bank of Iowa work with schools in particular, and what's that relationship like meeting kids where they are during the day as opposed to at a food pantry on a Tuesday night in Pella, for example?
Right. So like many of these programs, it's born out of need. For a long time, we've done the backpack program, 4,100 or so backpack sacks every week go out to various counties. But we know when a kid is hungry at school, we know there are also family members at home who also need help with food. And you talked about meeting people where they are. That's exactly what happens with the school pantry. The school pantry may look a little different depending on which school you're in. We currently operate 150 school pantries in 43 counties. Some are, big, and they may have clothing closets alongside them, and others may be as small as a closet. They're often run by a caring counselor, teacher, other school staff who they wear a lot of hats, but one of them is they operate the pantry. And Food Bank of Iowa provides the infrastructure, the training, the food, in a lot of cases, the freezer, cooler. We get them set up to do everything they need to do and deliver the food to their doorstep for free. They just need to be willing and committed to help get that food to families in their district. And they all, they all operate a little bit differently, but they're so needed. And it's a goal of ours to put a school pantry in every school district that we represent, which is 168 school districts.
Once again, we're here with Annette Hacker. She is the communications director of the Food Bank of Iowa. as we are discussing Food Drive Fridays in this important time of the year. As people are listening to this, we encourage you to head on over to their website, foodbankiowa.org, to learn more about their organization and also consider a donation, also to our various food pantries throughout South Central Iowa. So the you talked to kind of jump into the present again. One of the press releases you had already alluded to and talked about record numbers happening right now. Within that context and what you're seeing on the ground or from your partners, you know, what has that done to demand, and have you been able to meet that demand, and how do you try to adjust your purchasing or adjust what you're getting and distributing to partners based on that demand, knowing it is so high, and how do you utilize those resources to make sure you're trying to match that? Because again, there's times where it's low too.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. We're certainly doing all we can to meet demand and to meet that need. For a while, we were dealing with supply chain issues, which are less of an issue now. For a while, we were having a hard time getting milk and eggs. Everybody was having a hard time getting milk and eggs. And everybody wants milk and eggs. So it varies depending on, you know, what's happening elsewhere in the world, what's happening in the year, how much USDA food we are or are not getting. But our food sourcers, and we call them food sorcerers, do their very best to kind of stay ahead of that curve. Right now, we have included in our inventory a lot of holiday side type dishes, fresh potatoes, instant potatoes, au gratin potatoes, stuffing mix, green beans, all the things you would need for green bean casserole, things like that, so that our pantries and partners can stock up at looking ahead to what people are going to want for the holidays. We always put nutrition first and foremost. Of course, everybody needs a treat now and then, but our focus really is on fresh and canned vegetables, fruit, lean protein, the staples that people need every day to, you know, for nutrition for their family tables. Some of our pantries, you know, will put together birthday kits, which is super nice. They'll have the pan and the cake mix and the can of soda and the can of frosting, everything you need, for example, for a child's birthday or anyone's birthday. And that's such a nice thing. That's not a focus that we have because we're so focused on the core nutrition, but again, that's the partnership between us and the pantries. We give them a lot, but they also work with their local community to source what their pantry guests are looking for.
Well, and one of the challenges also, and it's not to make it seem like everything's doom and gloom, because they're just natural challenges when we're talking about fighting hunger. We talk a lot about the items and the people who make the distribution, but you need people, and volunteering is so critical. And I know, again, my example is I kind of refer back to what we have here in Pelham. I know they have a great team, but you need people to distribute the food. You need people to go through and make sure that, like you said, that 96 cents to a dollar donation can happen because you don't have to pay everybody who comes into work. So how does it work to volunteer for your organization? What are the steps it would take for somebody to drive up to your distribution centers, either in Ottumwa or Des Moines, and get that step and help you? And how critical, I suppose, it's a lot of questions in one, but how critical then are those volunteers then who may give that extra hand and get food on the trucks and so on?
Well, volunteers are the lifeblood of our organization and for our partners as well. I would venture to say if you went to any of our community partners and said, hey, I'd like to volunteer, I'd like to help, you're not going to be turned away and not here either. At Food Bank of Iowa, our volunteers, we fill more than 9,000 volunteer shifts every year. They do the work of 16 full-time employees. We simply could not exist and could not fulfill our mission without devoted volunteers. And there's so many different ways that you can volunteer based on where your interests and talents are. We have folks who do inspiration cards for our backpack program. That's something you can even do at home. And there's a list of, you know, how you do that on our website. We have people come in who, you know, sort potatoes and fill backpack sacks and sometimes run equipment and, you know, any number of office tasks or distribution center tasks or volunteer center things. If you're interested in volunteering, there's certainly a job for you.
Now, we're once again, we're here with Annette Hacker. She's the Vice President of Communications for the Food Bank of Iowa, discussing this organization that serves 55 counties in Iowa, including Marion and Warren counties, and works with our local food shelves and school districts to get food where it's needed. And I'm kind of scrolling through the website here, especially in your press releases, and a lot of your information talks about distribution and numbers that I think, you know, maybe people don't even recognize and the actual scope of the amount of people who need food in our communities, especially as you've talked about during some tough economic times. This was released in July, your previous fiscal year, looks like serving over 600,000 households, over 21 million pounds of food. Both were records. You know, again, we talk and see what we see every day in our lives, but can you give our audience any scope just to how many people that is and how much food that is and how the need continues to grow?
Well, that 21 million pounds is the equivalent of about 17 million meals across those 55 counties. And the fact of the matter is 11% of this state lives in poverty. And poverty correlates, of course, very closely to food insecurity. I've seen two recent studies, the USDA report that was out this week that showed food insecurity in Iowa was at 9%, and then the Census Bureau's most recent household pulse survey that showed about 10.6% of Iowa households are food insecure. And again, 10.6%, 11% poverty rate, it all tracks. Food insecurity is not something that it's not always constant for people. More often, it's an intermittent need. They might visit their pantry or a meal site. They might visit their pantry 3 or 4 times a year, not even every month. Some do come every month, but, it's those months where the car broke down. I lost my job. We had a medical emergency. Many of our neighbors are one catastrophe away from finding themselves needing help with food.
And I think that's a stat that when you talked to Dr. Bob and Spencer about that jumped out and I hope resonated with people is that, you know, I think a lot of people have an image of what poverty is or what life is like if you don't necessarily have a paycheck every single 2 weeks or whatever it might look like. But, you know, we had that example a couple of years ago. It's been 5 years now, I guess, when the Vermeer tornado hit and we had the plant shut down for a couple of the weeks and people went without a paycheck. And the food shelf, our other local nonprofits all saw a huge uptick. And I think you and Bob and Spencer really put it this way, that it's easy to talk about the 10% like they're others. But for so many of us, we are just one life event away from needing a food bank or needing a food pantry or needing a helping hand. And that's why your organization has grown to as big as it has, because to your point, it's not just the same 500,000 people you're serving every year. It could be somebody who is living a life of luxury today and tomorrow had their world flipped upside down.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, giving help and getting help are not mutually exclusive. We hear time and time again of, hey, I volunteer at this pantry, but something happened. And now I'm also coming to this pantry for resources and for help. That happens more than you could ever know.
Well, and the other thing, too, that I know I talked to Melissa Zula, our director, about here is, you know, so often people think that, well, because there are what are called food stamps, but more accurately SNAP benefits or WIC or some of these other programs, that how can people, you know, possibly need food? And well, there's this huge gap. And as you've talked about already in our interview, Annette, it's the idea that there's this huge cost increase, that everything's more expensive now. So student loans came back, obviously, this fall and other things that really have a hamper on household budgets. There are people, and I'm guessing you've talked to us about this before, the vast majority of people who go to a food pantry are working full time or they are in some sort of scenario where they have an income. It's just not enough to keep their household going.
Yeah, in about 2/3 of cases, there's at least one family member in the home working. And in some cases, 2 or 3 jobs, maybe part-time jobs with no benefits, trying to cobble together a living, and it's just not enough. In other cases, I think about an elderly gentleman that retired who I visited with down in Pella on a fixed income, and his SNAP benefits were, he told me, $20 a month. Well, you take $20 to the grocery store and see how far that goes. It just doesn't go. It never did go very far, but it's even more difficult now.
We're here with Annette Hacker. She's the Vice President of Communications with the Food Bank of Iowa. And so let's talk about calls to action then. And we've talked a lot about the need. We've talked a lot about the gaps that you and your partners, again, the Pella Food Shelf, Helping Hand in Knoxville and others in Warren and Marion counties work to close the gap of hunger. How can people get started, get involved, whether it's donation or volunteering? Let's start with your organization. How do they get involved and take that step to drive to Des Moines or Ottumwa for a day or make a donation to those food bank distribution centers and get that process rolling of helping their neighbors?
Well, I think even taking a further step back, acknowledging that this is a very real problem that affects people you know and care about. That's the first step, advocacy. Then it's how can I help? And in the case of Food Bank of Iowa, you can go to our website under Get Involved and look at all the ways you can get involved, whether it's hosting a food or fun drive or volunteering here or at a partner. We have businesses and companies that bring their teams to help volunteer, and we also have individual volunteers. We have fun theme nights. This week we had a Halloween theme night where that volunteer shift raised $11,000 just during that shift, and they all came in costume and had a great time. There are many, many ways to get involved, whether it's, you know, time, talent, treasure, all of those ways. Locally or here at Food Bank of Iowa.
Well, and I think that's the other step is that if they can't maybe make that leap to, especially from our area, to commute, I know that you are a big advocate, and that's why you work with your partners, of supporting what's happening locally too. And I don't know if you know or not, but yeah, the Pella Food Shelf just had a huge renovation, so they've got a bigger distribution center than they've ever had. Again, I know Helping Hand in Knoxville does a lot of great work, and so many of your partners. If they can't make it up to Des Moines or Ottumwa, I'm guessing the next step is check out what's happening here in our communities.
Absolutely. You know, when I think about the food shelf, I know they're getting food rescue when you look at the bread shelf and the pies and whatnot. In some cases, there are probably volunteers going to pick that up. You could be the person who does that. There are just any, and you could be the person who helps people shop and put their, you know, order together. There are any number, myriad of ways you can help.
And if people want to learn more about the Food Bank of Iowa, if they want to become a one-time donor, a monthly donor, if they want to learn more directly about volunteer opportunities, what's the best way for them to follow your organization along throughout the year, not just during this time in the holiday season, but throughout the year to make sure that they're helping their neighbors who have a little bit of hunger?
Well, you can always learn a lot more at foodbankiowa.org. You can follow us on social. And by all means, come for a tour or come to volunteer in Des Moines or in Ottumwa. We love visitors. We just, in Des Moines, added on 30,000 square foot addition, which has more than doubled our food storage capacity. It couldn't have come at a better time as we're trying to meet rising need. And we'd love to show you the space and show you what a food bank does.
That's Annette Hacker. She's the Vice President of Communications with the Food Bank of Iowa. She won't be the only one from their organization joining us for Food Drive Fridays this fall and into the winter season as we talk about the need in our communities and across South Central Iowa. Annette, thank you for your time again. I know we had fun getting to know you the last couple years, and we look forward to our conversations in the future about hunger in our communities. Thank you.
Always a pleasure to visit with you and your listeners.